This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Can't you taste the weekend? It's almost here. And tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything, but you got to ask by email. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get them in now. I do think it is hilarious. I'm going to get to this history story, and we're going to make fun of John Kerry, but it's hilarious and sad how quickly we forgot about all the unvetted people who came here from Afghanistan.
Does he think MAGA Republicans are more of a threat to the country than people DHS says may pose a risk to national security and the safety of local communities?
Again, DHS has disputed this report. And it said it didn't take into account the key steps that we have taken as a U.S. government, the rigorous multi-layered screening and vetting process that we take as a government. That was not part of the report. Again, this report is not accurate. I know that our team has spoken to your team about this, and the DHS has provided a comment saying just that. So again, I refer it to DHS.
You gotta love when the DHS refutes their own report. And the DHS, they said there's some dangerous people in there. Then someone at the DHS got a phone call. The DHS says the DHS is full of crap. No, they're all fine. No, it's just a bunch of librarians and doctors that came over from Afghanistan. Yeah, it's definitely not one of the foremost terrorist hotbeds on the planet. Anyway, Jesse, listening to your Wednesday show on podcast. By the way, if you miss any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on podcast. They podcast the whole show. iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes has all 3 hours, even though they're all broken up, which is really stupid. Listening to your Wednesday show on podcast, I'm reminded of a fascinating tale about the Donner Party. They got stranded in the mountains all winter, ended up eating things as they died, including humans. When they didn't die fast enough, a few people helped them along. A horrible story. Carry on, my brother. Says I can say his name. His name is Steve. Now, look, I like reading stories like this and talking about history stories because they're so dramatic and horrible. And I try to put myself in those stories. It's probably what you do too. Try to put yourself in the stories and try to imagine, gosh, what would that have been like? How would you react? What would you do? And I've talked about this before. As Americans, we think we know, as a country, we think we know tragedy and loss and poverty. And I need to be clear about this. I understand you personally do. On a personal level, everyone experiences this because that's part of life. Ups and downs, peaks and valleys. One day you get a job promotion, the next day your wife dies. That's life. That's part of life. It's horrible and wonderful, and that's just part of the experience. So I'm not discounting any personal tragedy you've had, but I'm talking about a nation as a whole. Frank Siller with Tunnel to Towers came on the show yesterday, and he's talking about how on top of paying for homes for widows and orphans, which is freaking wonderful what they do. They pay off mortgages for widows and orphans of first responder families and Gold Star families. Now they have a Tunnel to Towers Institute where they're putting this in the curriculum so classes can learn about 9/11. And I agree with Frank, I think it's important we remember this. And by the way, all they ask is $11 a month. $11 a month. Go to T2T.org. sign up to automatically give $11 a month. That's paying for an institute to educate kids. That's paying for widows and orphans. That's doing the work, all right? T2T.org. But speaking of 9/11, what do you think about when you think about 9/11? You think about how many Americans died, and that's what I think about. You think about the anger you had that day, the sadness you had that day. I'm right there with you. That's what I think about. We think 9/11 was a unique tragedy and uniquely horrible. And here's the thing. We're right and we're wrong. We're right in that it was a unique, horrible tragedy for us as Americans. But you expand that to the world, 3,000 dead? That's a bad afternoon in some places. Real tragedy, real loss, real stuff. Like, we think we know poverty. Our poor people are fat. And I'm not being insulting to poor people or fat people, but if you're fat, you don't really know poverty. Oh, I know you may not own a car. You may be in debt. Maybe your credit score is bad. Maybe they shut the power off. But if you're fat, you don't know poverty. We think that's poor. We look at, say, a bad neighborhood, and we see some lady in ratty clothes walking around, and we think, oh, man, that sucks. She's poor. And look, everything's relative compared to you. She is. Poor people are skinny. Starving people are skinny. They look hollowed out. They look half dead. And stories of tragedy and loss bring home just how bad it can get. I've talked to you a lot about Stalin and the Holodomor and him starving all those Ukrainians to death, and we've told horrible stories from that. The Donner Party is one of those things. I love the story because it's tragic and horrible, but because it's a lesson for human nature. I was joking around, and I had asked Chris earlier what part of the people he would eat. And Chris said, it's not kosher. I'm not eating it. I'm not doing it. If you were to ask me right now, I would tell you, no, I'm not going to eat anybody. Guess what? Chris and me are both liars. Yes, you would, Chris. Yes, I would. You've never been hungry enough. Here's a little history story. The Oregon Trail, the push westward. The Oregon Trail was, well, I know you're going to find this shocking, a trail to get to Oregon. But that's too simplistic. It eventually branched off, and it was a trail to get from the east to Oregon or to Montana or the California. It turned into the California Trail. There's a whole history behind it. We all of a sudden had all this new territory out west, and people were figuring out that, wow, the weather's nice out there. It's a cool place. There's opportunity. I can have a new start. Who doesn't want a new start, right? New start, new beginnings. So much the same reason a lot of people are moving now, like, say, from a big city to a more rural red area now. It's what they were doing back then. It was just a lot more dangerous back then than it is now. Today, you're tired of your blue city and the dumbass Sun Kids and the vaccine stuff and the crime. So what are you going to do? You're going to call a realtor, put your home for sale, and then that lady's going to show up, sell your home. Don't let her rip you off, by the way. Sell your home. You're going to go buy a new home and a nice community, you're going to get a moving truck, probably even get some moving guys to help you load it up and drive in the air conditioning across the country and move into your new home. That's not how it worked back then. Back then, if you wanted to get from east to west, you loaded all your stuff up in a wagon train. You didn't go by yourself or you'd die. The Indians or the weather or something else. They would load up. These were all organized parties. Well, I should say most of the part. They were organized. There were whole companies that would do this for you. It was kind of the moving guys back in the day. Hey, we will lead you out there. We know the trail. We know the way. Gather up with your whole family here, and we're taking their whole family with us, and we're all going to load up, and we're heading out west. And it was very, very dangerous because the west was not secured from Indians. There were still hostile Indian tribes who didn't feel like they should give up their lands at all. You had to worry about that. You had to worry about the animals. You had to worry about the weather. You had to worry about a whole lot of things. And when I say the weather, here's what I mean. When you took off, like from Missouri, Springfield, actually, specifically when it comes to this story, when you take off from Springfield and you're heading out west, you're heading out. We're heading west. You have to pick the right time of year to do that. And boy, you better time that correctly. You really better time that correctly, because if you do not, the snow is going to begin falling in the Rocky Mountains and you're going to freeze to death. The Donner Party, it's just the worst story in the world, because when you know how it ends, which you already do know how it ends, I'll get there in a minute. When you know how it ends, it makes all the lead up to the story so tragic, because it was just little thing after little thing after little thing would go wrong. This went wrong and this caused a delay. This went wrong and this caused a delay. Then they moved to here, but then this went wrong and this caused a delay. And they believed some charlatan who told them that there was a better way than the way everyone else had been taken. Always be wary of the guy who says he is the one who knows the only better way. Anyway, but it was delay after delay after delay after delay. And finally, when they get up there and they're trying to get through the pass, they're through the mountain pass, which they have to get through before the snow falls, they find they missed it. The snow fell the day before. All these endless delays make the story that much more horrific when you figure out they actually could have made it had even one of those delays not happened. Nevertheless, they got up there. The snow fell. Snow drifts too thick. You can't get the oxen through them. Can't get the wagons through them. And so you had to retreat into the Sierra Nevada mountains with snow falling all around you and figure out how to survive when all the food is running out. How'd that turn out? Well, you probably already know, but I'll finish that and then we'll make fun of John Kerry for his private plane. Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show. So what do the...
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday night. I'm going to finish my Donner Party story here real quick as we do another little history rewind. I just can't quit. I can't get enough of these cities like New York and D.C. complaining about illegal immigrants coming in. Oh, no, we're a border town.
So it's been said, but it's worth reiterating, that the governors of Texas and Arizona have created this crisis. And the federal government has not stepped up to assist the District of Columbia. So we, along with our regional partners, will do what we've always done. We'll rise to the occasion. We've learned from border towns like El Paso and Brownsville. And in many ways, the governors of Texas and Arizona have turned us into a border town.
Oh, I just want to express my heartfelt condolences again for Washington, D.C. Are there a bunch of illegal immigrants flooding into your area, gobbling up goods and services and jobs that belong to American citizens, and you're finding them to be a burden on the critical facilities you rely on? Oh, that is so sad. I'll tell you what, my heart's just breaking for you. As someone who's lived in California, Arizona, and Texas, I can't tell you how much my heart breaks that Washington, D.C. has to take care of some illegal immigrants. Enjoy it when your child has to go to bilingual class. Enjoy it when you break your arm and have to go to the emergency room and there's a three-hour wait because 19 illegal immigrants are in there for the sniffles. I just feel awful for you. Man, that is such a shame. Back to the Donner Party. In case you missed it, we were talking about the Donner Party. Someone wrote in about desperation and the human experience. Anyway, they get up there in the Sierra Nevadas, and you really begin to see, you were seeing some of it before this. They were getting delayed, and certain people were sick, or certain people were causing problems. There was actually a negligent discharge with a weapon that killed somebody. It was just one thing after another. You begin to see the ugly part of humanity rear its ugly head. And it reminds me so much of some of the reading I've done about guys who've experienced gulags, real Soviet style gulags, and real starvation and tragedy. And they said the same way I just said, look, if you're poor and you're fat, you're actually not that poor. If everyone's good, if everyone remains relatively good, then it's not bad enough yet. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what the guys who were in the gulag say. Everyone turns bad because if you don't turn bad, you die. And so you see the ugly parts of humanity. And I bring this up because you can definitely see ugliness coming out there now. Ugliness coming out there now. They started screwing each other over right away. They started, one guy sold a dead oxen that starved to death. He sold it to another family that was there, another group that was there, for the price of two live ones. But he ripped them off for money just because he could. And then they begin to go hungry. And they, of course, are eating the oxen. And they're eating leather. They're doing anything they can. And then they start eating each other. And it's not long before they start killing each other. Soon they actually send out a group. They send out a group to, now they've been sending out groups. I don't want to act like this was a one-off, but soon they send out a group. Big group of dudes goes out. We're going to find our way through the pass. It's not long before they identify a couple of them. They say, hey, let's kill these guys and eat them. Somebody warned the guys. Again, good human nature does rise. Someone warned the guys and said, hey, they're going to kill you. Get out of here. So the two guys took off and escaped. The group that was going to kill them and eat them found them. And a short time later, they were starving. Pop, pop, killed them both anyway and ate them. Now, you can sit. Look, it ended up being 80. I think it was 87 took off. I think 48 survived. It's a fascinating story. There's all kinds of little things that I forgot in there. I could have made it take the whole show. But just remember something. When people get desperate, it's why I've been warning you so much about guns, about protecting yourself, about training with your weapons. Why I talked to you about Hero Gun. It's why I talked to you about putting your cell phone down, looking around, being as desperation increases. And we're going into a time. I don't know how deep it'll get. And I don't know how long it'll last, but I do know we're going into a time where desperation is increasing. You see it everywhere. As desperation increases, please understand it turns people into monsters. Desperation, fear, turns people into monsters. You remember what they did during COVID, right? You remember how many normal people you knew, maybe family members, friends, turned into outright monsters because of fear? Because the government media fear machine fired everything up and got it rolling. All right. John Kerry flies private a lot. This is not news. Washington Free Beacon, to their credit, has a story out today that he's flown more than 180,000 miles. That's a lot, in case you're wondering. It's also about a thousand times more carbon than you'll ever produce in the entirety of your life. Oh, go ahead, Chris. Yeah, please.
On that issue, pollution, I understand that you came here with a private jet. Is that an environmental way to travel?
If you offset your carbon, it's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle.
So what's the gotcha here? Are we going to do the hypocrisy thing? Because that's all conservatism has been for most of my life. Hypocrites! Look at these hypocrites. These hypocrites! Or we'll do this. You know, the right loves to do this as if it's somehow effective on the communists. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we did that? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Boy, I tell you what, you could actually just write a book on what conservatism has been for the last 30 years, and it could be one page that just says, can you imagine if... as if that's somehow effective. Well, it's not effective. Doesn't matter. But why isn't that effective? Why doesn't that work? We'll talk about that, and then I'll get to some more emails. And we have a lot of fun still to come, I promise you, on the Jesse Kelly Show. Just remember this. We're going to talk about why it doesn't work. We're going to talk about what you're actually seeing when these people rub these things in your face. But it's not hypocrisy. It is not hypocrisy. We're dealing with something way worse, way more nefarious than hypocrisy. If you think you're going to point out their hypocrisy and change anything, you're dead wrong. I'll explain why in just a second. I used to choose me, but neither one cared.
Hey, Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Man, we're already halfway done with the show, Chris. We're already halfway done. And then once we're done with Thursday's show, it's officially Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, baby. And we all know.
You know, freedom is not free.
It's not free, Chris. It's not free. You know what? We haven't heard from Maria in far too long. You know what? Maria Salazar, once again, please take us away. I just want you to understand. These are the people who lead you and write your laws.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know, freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
Listen, thank you. All right, John Kerry. It's an article about how he flies private. And he flies private. And what a hypocrite. He's going, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Can you imagine if we did that? He's a hypocrite. He's not a hypocrite. John Kerry and those like him, they view themselves as kings and queens. There are many people who've lived throughout history that are this way. Virtually every genocidal maniac is this way. They view themselves as being above. I don't mean slightly better, slightly more talented. They view themselves as simply being above you. It's very difficult for normal people to understand how these people think. You are not a citizen to them, a fellow American. You're not anybody of any kind of equal status. You are essentially a useless peasant. If you could attach John Kerry to a lie detector test, he would come out, he would just simply be honest about this. You, in his eyes, you're a useless peasant. You have virtually no use whatsoever. In fact, every time you try to get uppity and think and talk about your freedom, what it does, it sparks a genuine eye roll in people like this. And this applies to all of them. This is the social media company CEOs, John Kerry, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all the evil people who run the world, they all think in this way. You're not some individual created by God. You're a useless, frankly, burdensome peasant who talks about freedom way too much. The fact that you won't just give John Kerry all the power he wants, he thinks that's disgraceful. He thinks any limits on his power are absurd. He looks at the free Western societies and he rolls his eyes. You know what John Kerry wants you to do? Die, if that's what he thinks will help the earth. Remember, he's the king, he's the queen, he's the one he's of a higher class. He knows what the world needs. He thinks it's ridiculous these peasants are impeding his progress. If John Kerry feels like you need to die, then you need to die. If he feels like you need to live, then you need to live. If he feels like you need to be forced to live in this place or work in this job, then that's what he feels. But your feelings, your freedom, your individual nature, these are things that cross your mind. They never even cross his mind. John Kerry is not a hypocrite, not in his own mind. You could hook him up to a lie detector test and he would tell you that. I mean, he was honest in that audio clip Chris just played. Don't you think it's hypocritical to fly a private jet here? And look, it was an honest moment. I give him credit for it. Well, not for someone like me.
On that issue, pollution, I understand that you came here with a private jet. Is that an environmental way to travel?
If you offset your carbon, it's the only choice for somebody like me who is traveling the world to win this battle.
Somebody like me. But you, Your pickup truck? Oh, you're a truck driver? You do that for a living, bringing critical goods to America? No, 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 peasant. John Kerry, he can produce the carbon because, again, he's of a higher class. They view themselves as kings and queens. And so back to what we've done for so long on the right, we make the mistake. It's a natural mistake. It's something humans do. We assign our values to other people. We go back and we call these people hypocrites because if you were accused of being a hypocrite about something, that would hurt you. You don't want to be a hypocrite. That would, ow, dang. Am I? Okay, I need to work on that. That's what you would, if you were accused of something like that. Look at it from John Kerry's perspective. Does the peasant telling John Kerry he's a hypocrite, does it have any effect on John Kerry at all? Remember how he views the peasant. It doesn't affect him one bit. He doesn't view that as being a hypocrisy at all. He is of the higher class. You were of the lower classes. And because we're Americans and we love, you know, equality and all these things, we don't understand how common that way of thinking is throughout history. Having classes in society, it sucks. It's horrible. But it is most of the history of the world. Remember, that's just how it was. I brought this up before because it's a great stat, and I think we should do the same when it comes to this. The Romans viewed actors and actresses as being of the same lower class as ladies of the night. They did. It was, if you were one of the upper classes, it was a scandal. It would be, they had tabloids back then too. You would have been on the front page of the tabloids if you were seen talking to an actor or an actress. They just viewed it as the lowest form of everything. Whereas we revere them, they just thought, oh, these people are completely useless to society, the worst of society. And it was a scandal back then. Having classes in a society is the norm for most of human history. Again, because we don't have that perspective, it's just like tragedy. Because we don't have enough of a perspective as Americans, we don't realize that. Because you bounce throughout the classes here. You can be rich. Well, you can go from rich to being poor. And then right back to rich again. And right back to being poor. That's how it works in this country. You're not held back. But that's not how it's worked for most of human history. And many human minds, you could probably argue most human minds, view society in that way. I'll be honest with you. I do in some ways. You know, I don't support the NFL anymore. I won't watch it on TV. I won't do any of that. But you also know, for so long, I was obsessed with NFL football and my team. I was a Giants fan and my fantasy team. I just love NFL football. And you know, I stopped going to games. Two reasons. One, the wife and I had saved up for a few years to go to Hawaii, and the Giants made the Super Bowl, and we spent all of our Hawaii money on Super Bowl tickets, and so we got to go experience what it was like for a Super Bowl game. It was like $2,000 a ticket or something ridiculous, right? We spent everything we had, and it was wonderful. Even the other fans were wonderful. It was wonderful. But I've been to other football games where I just got, you know, normal nosebleed tickets, all I could afford. It was wretched. Back when I loved the NFL, it was wretched. There's a new fight every 15 seconds. Grown men, 50, 60 years old, getting so drunk in public, they're vomiting on themselves, passing out, endless amounts of just cursing in front of kids. It was horrible. I'm not one of these guys who doesn't believe in any of this class stuff at all. I'll finish that thought in just a moment. I kind of ran out of time there. I'll finish my, why, I'm a classist. Is that a word, Chris? I'm a classist. I'm a classist. I'll finish that word in a second. Before I get to that, I brought it up a little earlier. I probably should have expanded on it about the level of desperation and how desperate people can turn into monsters, will turn into monsters. Scared people will turn into monsters. As we continue to descend this way in society, it is more and more critical that you have something on your person at all times that will allow you to protect yourself. You saw that story about that Memphis gunman who live streamed a shooting rampage. This happened last night. Live streamed it. You could have watched it online. He killed four people. They were random people. Do you have a hero gun yet? Does that daughter you sent away to college have a hero gun? Your son, your wife, your husband, your mother. Anyone can use it. It's a non-lethal gun. Has a laser sight. You point and squeeze. It shoots these pepper balls. It hits. It hurts. And after that, the real pain begins. Go to hero2020.com. Use the code Jesse. That gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome. Take a good
look at yourself and describe. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Breaking news tonight. I'm a classist, maybe. Maybe I know. I was explaining John Kerry and why he flies private and tells you not to drive a car. He views himself as being above you. That's just how he views himself. And I was telling the story about back when I used to love the NFL. And I told you we'd spent our vacation fund one time to go to the Super Bowl, and it was wonderful because the crowd was wonderful. Like, it was just wonderful people, even from the opposing team. It was the Giants when they played the Patriots. Even then, it was cordial with everybody. And then I've been to several games where, nosebleed seats, that's all I could afford. And it was like being in prison. It was just wretched up there. I learned early on, even when I couldn't afford anything, I learned you got to price out the riffraff sometimes. If you take a $99 Spirit Airlines flight that leaves from Philadelphia at midnight, you better be ready to fight. The truth is, you got to price out the riffraff. So I guess in some way we're all classist, I guess. But did you hear Gavin Newsom in California?
California and many other Western states are experiencing simply unprecedented temperatures. In fact, this heat wave is on track to be both the hottest and the longest on record for the state and many parts of the West for the month of September. Everyone has to do their part to help step up for just a few more days. Individuals, the state, industries, business, all doing their part to help reduce strain on the grid. Please turn your thermostat up to 78 degrees or higher and avoid, to the extent possible, using any really large appliances.
He sits there in a jacket telling you that, and I'm telling you that's coming soon. It's coming soon for all of us. Don't think your red area is unique. It is coming soon. All right. Back to the emails. Remember, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dr. Oracle, I've been wondering your opinion on Jordan Peterson. I consider the field of psychology to be as corrupt as any institution, but Peterson seems to have escaped that. It seems he's encouraging young men in particular to grow up and become better human beings in their community. Just wondering your take. I always find these things fascinating because other people who are well-known, getting more well-known, very famous celebrities like me, Chris, in the conservative movement, people assume you all know each other. I actually don't know Jordan Peterson at all. I've never even met the man. I was at a private event where he spoke one time. I found it to be incredibly fascinating. I think that he's saying a lot of things, like a lot of things he said at the event, and this is where we've gone as a society. They're not things that would have been seen as even remotely controversial like 10 years ago. He's just saying basic things, but now any amount of truth is seen as radical. It's seen as completely crazy. I liked a lot of what he said there. I haven't read any of his books or anything like that. I know some people like him a lot. I don't know. I would tell you if I didn't like him or I love the guy. I just don't know him well enough to say anything. Dear Super Tall Shogun Sensei, I by the way, just before I do this email, I want to remind you, I talked last night in case you missed last night's show. We had a lady, she was a jogger, getting scared about all the criminal filth out there, wrote in asking about what martial arts she should practice and things like that. And we got a bunch of responses. All of them were positive today about the things I had to say, to which I told them, yeah, get used to carrying a weapon. Carry a hero gun, carry a hero arrow, carry a lethal gun if you want. Carry something with you that will stop somebody. Because, look, even if you train, lots of training, and I'm not discounting training. Training's important. It could save your life. Even if you train, if you're a 110-pound woman and some 220-pound violent monster gets his hands on you and he's known nothing but violence his whole life, he's going to do whatever he wants to you. Anyway, this guy writes in, I am in total agreement with you on women in martial arts. I'm a 45-year-old professional martial artist and hold multiple black belts and have trained all over the world with some of the greatest. I've been teaching for over 40 years. Wait a minute. You were teaching people when you were five? Anyway, I can only recommend one thing for women's self-defense. It's called model mugging. It's the best thing available for women and men who are not going to train for years with unfortunately unrealistic goals. Students are exposed to serious violence, mental stress, and true full contact. I truly hope this recommendation saves someone, as it actually has many times. Please investigate. Thank you, and I love your show. You make me feel unalone. Says I can say his name. His name is Jonathan. Model mugging. I've never heard of this in my life, and now I'm fascinated. Look, I need to explain something, too. When I say somebody who's only known violence, and you don't, because that's not how you've lived your life. Somebody like this does, Jonathan. Somebody who's trained that much, you've been in enough sparring, undoubtedly, you've been in enough tournaments, you understand how violent it gets so quickly. I remember in the Marines, we would do this thing all the time. I don't know if they still do it now. We would do this thing called Bull in the Ring. And it's kind of a cool thing where they'd form a circle. Everyone would form a circle around this gigantic ring. And you would sit down on your butt with your legs straight out in front of you. And the guy you were going against would sit down on his butt with his legs straight out in front of him. And you were back to back. You were not allowed to stand up. And you were not allowed to punch or elbow. So you weren't allowed to strike. But when they'd say go, you turn around and you fight until someone submits. That's what you do. You fight until somebody submits. And one of the cool parts about it is you could challenge anybody. You have to be respectful of rank all the time, but if your platoon sergeant made you mad, your lieutenant made you mad, hey, sir, let's go. Bull in the ring. Let's do it. And that's, you have an obligation to do it, so you could challenge anyone anytime. Now, I say they say no hitting. You got away with everything illegal you possibly could. I have been made to bleed doing Bull of the Ring. I've made others bleed doing Bull of the Ring. If no one can see and your nose is right there and I'm trying to win, I'm going to do what I have to do to win. But you could tell there were guys who'd never been in a scrap before, and that's fine. I'm not encouraging you to go out and get in a bunch of fights, but you could tell they were, and they, don't get me wrong, you hardened up pretty quickly, but you're shocked, especially if all you know is movies and TV and things like, you're shocked at the violence of it. At the speed and the violence of it. Sometimes it's just the speed that blows you away. It's striking. So I said what I said because I want people, especially women, to be safe in an environment where they are increasingly unsafe. Yes, I want you to do some training. Maybe that, look, this guy says it sounds like he's got experience. Maybe this model mugging is the key. Maybe that's it. But don't even think that is enough. Carry something on you to stop a bad guy. Carry something on you that will stop a bad guy. All right? It's critical. Now, someone wants to know about Mitch McConnell. Well, actually, a bunch of people have asked me because there's an article out today about Mitch McConnell and Mitch McConnell's silence after Joe Biden's speech. We're going to have a frank talk about this next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.